Go back to the 12th chapter of Mark's Gospel tonight and read verses 38 through 40. And Jesus said to them in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feast, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive greater condemnation." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It seems to me that many people usually think that any kind of religion is good. People sometimes say things such as, "It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere." Or, "It doesn't matter what church you go to as long as you go." I don't know anything much more foolish. You can be totally sincere about something and be totally wrong. You can pick up a bottle that you think has water in it and sincerely believe that. And if it has poison in it, you can be sincerely dead. You know, you can be sincere about something and just be totally wrong about it. And one religion surely is not as good as another. One faith is not as good as another. There's something wrong with any religion that encourages people to become living bombs and martyrs to kill innocent people. They're sincere about it. I mean, they really are. They give their lives to it. But they're sincerely wrong. Religion can be a great hindrance to individuals and to community. And as we know from observation in history, numberless families have been split and wars fought over disagreements over religious matters. In our scripture tonight, Jesus is speaking a warning about the scribes. And they were very, very religious people. They were experts in the Jewish law. But Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes." Well, why? What was wrong with these very religious people? Well, basically, they were hypocrites. Their religion was all for show and ego satisfaction. And Jesus brings a series of charges against them. Let's look at them. He said, first, they like to go around in long robes. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, in the east of that day, a long robe which swept the ground was the sign of a notable person. I mean, if you wore a long robe, you were somebody special. It was a kind of robe in which no work could really be done and you couldn't hurry. So it said to the world that you were a leisured man of honor and position. The long robe said to all, "I am somebody important. I deserve to be treated with respect." And then Jesus said they loved to have salutations in the marketplace. The scribes loved to be greeted with honor and respect. The title rabbi simply means "my great one." They liked the accolades and the praise of people. And then he said they liked the front seats, the best seats, the seats of honor in the synagogue. These seats at the front were where the specially distinguished people sat. No one who sat in these seats could help from being seen and admired as a special person. And then he said they liked the places of honor at feast. At feast, precedence was strictly fixed. The most important people had their place, the less important people their place. You could immediately tell how important a person was by where they sat. The scribes, of course, wanted the highest place of honor. They wanted to sit at the head table where everybody would know that they were somebody important. And then, a strange statement, he said they devour widows' houses. What does it mean? Well, William Barclay said of this that the expert in the law was not supposed to take any pay for his teaching. He was to have a trade and make his living with his own hands. And you find Paul doing this in the New Testament. Paul, you know, was a tent maker and he worked with his hands and made his own living. And he preached the gospel free of charge. But the scribes had conveyed to the people that there was no higher duty and privilege than to support a rabbi in comfort. In fact, such support, they said, would undoubtedly bring a high reward to them from God. And it seemed that some poor widows had gone so far as to give them their houses, or at least to give so much money that they lost their houses, while the scribe prospered and poor widows went homeless. And then finally Jesus said that for a pretense they made long prayers. Their prayers were for show. They were not so much offered to God as they were offered to people. They were offered not in private, not in their own homes, not even in quiet meditation in the synagogue. They offered their prayers where all people who were around could see and hear and think of how pious and religious they were. And after making these six charges against the scribes, Jesus said they will receive the greater condemnation. The more they pretend to be something they are not, the greater will be their condemnation. Now, what does this have to say to us tonight? Well, this scornful picture of the scribe's love of prominence hits at the very center of some of the dominant motives of our time and society. While the scriptures warn against the desire for prominence, what do we see in our society and to some degree even within the church? You notice how names have changed across the years in an effort to upgrade the perception of jobs and or professions? You know, we used to have people called garbage collectors. We don't have garbage collectors anymore. We have sanitation engineers. They still go around and pick up the garbage, but they're sanitation engineers. When I was younger, we used to have junkyards. You know, you could go to a junkyard and get a part for an old car or something, but we don't have junkyards anymore. We have salvage yards or recycling centers. And of course, we used to have undertakers. You know, the undertaker would come and pick up somebody's body that had died and take care of everything and put the body under, so they were undertakers. You don't have undertakers anymore. You got funeral directors. Years ago, I was pastoring a small church, and these two ladies had been the janitors for years. And their health got bad, and so they gave up their job. And one of the church members came to the board with a proposition. He said he would take the job on and keep the church clean, but there had to be two conditions about it. One, the money that he would normally receive for the work was to go in a scholarship fund, and the church would administer it to help some of the members of the church as they went off to college. That's a very admirable thing. And the second thing he said was to take the job, he would not be called the janitor, but he would be called the maintenance engineer. Interesting, you know. He just wasn't going to do it unless we upgrade the title to the maintenance engineer. One way of making people happy is to give them a new title. Someone has suggested that the most difficult instrument to play in an orchestra is second fiddle or second violin. No one wants to be second. Everybody wants to be number one. Last Sunday had the great Super Bowl, you know. And I got to thinking about it. Indianapolis Colts were the second best team in the whole world. And they're all unhappy because they're not number one. And in business, people want to have the right title, the director, the executive director, the chief executive officer. And sometimes, even in the church, we find people wanting an office because they think they deserve it, have earned it, not because they want a place of selfless service. And ministers, bless our hearts, we want to be set apart, and sometimes at least in robes and fancy stoles, and be known as the reverend or the very reverend or the most reverend. No. Got to have the title. Surely the places of honor rarely go begging. Someone has suggested that their preoccupation with promise is an inevitable result of a lack of a significant inside. Because we're not whole, we're not complete, we're not what God wants us to be, we're so concerned about the outside. The great sin of the scribes and of all pushers to the front seat is a lack of love. Jesus proclaimed again and again that the way to greatness is the way of service. And this scripture warns against the desire for human praise. Now, everybody likes to be treated with respect. I surely do. I know you do. We want people to treat us with respect. And yet the basic fact of Christianity is that it ought to make a person want to exalt Christ rather than self. We want people to see Jesus, not us. William Berkeley told the story of an old days, a monk, a very holy man, who was sent to take the office as abbot in a monastery. He looked so humble in person that when he arrived at the monastery, nobody there knew him, but he arrived at the monastery and so humble looking and common looking that the person in charge sent him to work in the kitchen. No one recognized him. And without a word of protest and with no attempt to take his position, he went and washed dishes and scrubbed floors and did the menial task that had to be done in the monastery kitchen. And it was only when the bishop arrived a considerable time later that the mistake was discovered and the humble monk took up his true position. The man who enters upon office for the respect which will be given him has begun in the wrong way and cannot, unless he changes, ever be in the sense the servant of Christ to his fellow man. It's so easy to get caught up in this, particularly if you're even considering in going in maybe to full-time ministry. I remember well, soon after I finally consented to God become a preacher of the gospel, I was still cutting pulp wood, and I had a tire to tear up on my old pulpwood truck. And so I went one afternoon to a service station to get the tire fixed, and I had about as junky a truck as you can imagine. And I'm sure that I was sweaty and dirty and my old jeans and work shoes on. But the man that was fixing my tire for me addressed me that day as Reverend. I don't know how he had found out that I was going in the ministry. He was the first person to ever address me in this way. And I remember thinking how odd. I was really quite shocked. You know, I didn't feel a bit more reverent that day than I did the last time I was in there. Just because of the position, he put a title on me. And till this day, I just prefer to be called by my name. And if you want to, you can call me brother, a pastor, a preacher, but please don't call me Reverend. I'm not. But none of us should be seeking after great prominence. None of us should be seeking human praise. The Scripture warns against the attempt to make financial gain because of our religion. The scribes in their hypocrisy prayed long prayers and devoured widows' houses. They used their religion for financial gain, even at the expense of hurting others. It's still quite possible for people to use their position or their religious position to line their own pockets. You know, politicians go into politics to serve the people, but so many of them wind up seeking only for their own gain. And we see people who claim to be called of God to a particular ministry sometimes living in the laps of luxury while taking gifts from the poorest with a promise that good will come to them if they will give. If you'll just send me so many dollars, then something miraculous, something wonderful is going to happen to you. God forgive us. We have these warnings that Jesus had for the scribes. And we could go further in greater detail, for every item in Jesus' charges against the scribes fits somehow in our 20th century scheme. Here are depicted the basic drives of an acquisitive civilization which is more concerned with outward appearance than with inside character. More concerned with outward appearance than with inside character. May God deliver us from the sin of the scribes, that we may walk in humble service with Him. Lord Jesus, we know that we are less than what we ought to be. We know that we fall far short of what You would have us to be. But thank God we're not what we used to be. And day by day, by Your grace, help us to become more like You and to walk with You in humble service. And it's in Your name that we pray.